Amen. Father, I just praise you and thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your favor. Lord, your miracle-working power sweeping through this church, Father. Because you show yourself strong on those that trust in you, on the behalf of those that seek you, on the behalf of those that pursue you, that follow hard after you, Father. You show yourself strong on their behalf. Father, I just praise you and thank you for healings, miracles, wonders, signs, Father, following believers. Lord God, you have so much more for us than what we're taking a hold of. And we're not wanting to just... We don't want just the little bit. We want the whole thing. And Lord, I just thank you for it and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your leading in the service, directing my steps and ordering my words, Lord. And I yield myself to you to say what you'd have me say in Jesus' name. I thank you for your anointing, without which there wouldn't be any sense in doing this. Thank you that you anoint my lips, you anoint my mind, to say what you'd have me say. That word would fall on ears that are anointed to hear and hearts that are anointed and ready to receive the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm just so excited because when you see the word working in your life, it just makes such a difference, right? And sometimes we let the word slip, and that just means that we just forget about things, right? There are things that we know. You know, anybody knows, and I mean this sincerely. I think most people, even in this world that we live in today, have at one time heard Jesus loves me. The song, right? Even in this world that we live in, where, you know, it's not as prominent, it's not as common. And yet, sometimes because of tradition and because of what we experience and because of what we see and because of what we feel and because of what happens to somebody that we love or something, we completely forget about that simple thing, Jesus loves me. We forget about Jesus loves me and we think God is out to get me. He's trying to teach me something. And you know, I get so frustrated when people talk about God that way. I do. I get so frustrated, and I'll tell you why. You guys are all parents here. Well, with the exception of those young ones at the back. You'll get there. But you've been raised by parents, and hopefully good parents. And if you were to tell me that this is how you discipline your children, I would report you, okay? Here's why, and probably I'm not that type of person, but I would be tempted to report you. If you told me that, you know, when it comes fall time and we start the wood stove, I teach my little ones not to touch the wood stove, and this is how I do it. I take their little hand and I tell them the wood stove is hot, and I put it on the wood stove, the hot wood stove, and they never touch it again. I would have a freak out. Are you kidding me? That's how you teach your children. That's wrong, right? That goes without saying, right? So yet people are saying that that's how God is with his children. I'm gonna share this testimony because it's one that I still can't wrap my brain around. Actually, we're not supposed to wrap our brains. We're just supposed to leave our brain the way it is. Don't wrap it. Don't do anything with it. Just leave it. It's good the way it is. Renew it every once in a while on the Word of God, but that's as far as you should mess with your brain. So, but this testimony, when I heard it, it just was so shocking to me that people think this way. And these are church people. So it was a couple that came to us and they were telling us, first of all, they were so happy that we had lots of children. They thought that that had to be a sign that, you know, people that have lots of children must hear from God. This is also not true. But, you know, they just were thrilled that we had so many children. So then they said that they knew God wanted them to have lots of children. And this is how they figured that out. I don't know why I'm even talking about this, but I am. This is how they figured it out. That when they were first married, they were on birth control. And when they used birth control, after a while, they thought, oh, well, you know, maybe now it's time for us to start our family. So they got off the birth control so that they could have children. And shortly after, they conceived. And then they lost the baby. And they said it was God teaching them, don't use birth control. Okay, so if you guys think anything like me, you'll find out how I think here in a minute, that is warped. So here they were trying not to have babies by using birth control. And this is not a plug for, you know, more children for anybody here. I'm not saying this for this reason, right? This is not, we don't have an agenda at this church. But the point is that they were using birth control, and I don't care if you use them. I'm talking to people that are beyond this. But anyway, you guys listen at the back. So they were using birth control to stop themselves from having children, right? And then when they thought, oh, now it's time for us to have children, when God says go forth and multiply, right? So they're listening to God. I'm not saying they weren't listening to God. Don't take this out of context. But anyway, so they stopped using birth control so that they could do what they felt God wanted them to do, which was procreate. And then God told them, this is why you shouldn't have done birth control to begin with, and he took their baby. Does that make sense to any? Okay, so I'm not alone in this boat. This is just ludicrous. And people are blaming things on God that he has absolutely nothing to do with. You know what? It is common knowledge that after you use birth control for a time, it messes with your system. And it was, okay, so I don't know where that came from. Whoever's listening out there, maybe you needed that. I want us to recognize who God is. We have to know who God is. John said it, I think it was Wednesday, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Until you know the will of God, you can't put faith in it. If you're wishy-washy about what you think God has for you, or maybe he does, or maybe he doesn't, Mylon Lefebvre said it best, I think. He said, praying if it be thy will sounds great as long as you're praying for somebody else. But when it comes to yourself, right? You want to know. You want to know, okay, what do you have for me? Lord, what is it that you have for me? So 2 weeks ago, I found this book, which, you know, it's not a bestseller by any means. But I just started going through it, and I was like, and this is, I guess, where this whole thing of letting things slip. And I thought, Julia, my goodness, girl, what are you doing? So I've just been going through it and going through it and going through it. And so there's something that the Lord showed me in 2014. And when I went through it, I thought, wow, this is pretty current. Because, you know, God's never outdated, right? He's never, oh, that was so yesterday. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same, right? And so I believe God brought this to my attention because these are things that we need to allow the word of God to do. So there's four things he told me. And when you're going through situations, there's always a new word, right? He encourages you, like I shared with you about Rihanna when we were in the hospital, and he said, you won't need to fight in this. Set yourself. You're going to see the salvation of God. Right? Stand still. Just set yourself. And so that was a word in that season for this time, and we're still set. Praise God, right? But then don't let go of things that he's told you before. Don't let go of the promises that he gave you at a different time when you were going through a different struggle. So this, or a different time, it doesn't have to be a struggle, but we tend to, when do we cry out to the Lord?
When we're in trouble.
Right? Right? We tend to, you know, we breeze through life pretty good. Oh, this is great. It's just, you know, sometimes my laundry room. I've shared this so many times. But, you know, sometimes my laundry room, I am on top of things. I can see the counter. It is awesome. And you're so excited, and you think, I can do this. I can totally do this. And then you have 5 days where you're running to hockey, grocery shopping, running to hockey, grocery shopping. You're just doing stuff, right? And you come home, and you're like, whoa, what happened? And that's when you're like, Lord, help me get my laundry. Like, just with laundry, right? Just help me get that under control. But anyway, so this is what he shared with me in 2014, that the word affect me, correct me, protect me, and perfect me. And that's not just a play on words, but I think God does that sometimes to kind of jerk your attention. Oh, yeah, that's kind of a rhymey thing, right? Because that's how we remember things. That's how our brains are wired to remember things. So let the word of God affect me. And then in brackets, this is what I wrote. Especially beyond devotions. Right? How many times do we have amazing devotions? Like where we feel the presence of God. We are worshiping. And we just are like, wow, God, you are so awesome. You are amazing. And we just have that time of intimacy with him, with God, where you read something in the Word and that rhema word jumps right off the page at you and you see it like you've never seen it before. And praise God. And then you go downstairs and your dog ripped your brand new bathroom door apart. The one that you just replaced a couple months ago, because she ripped it apart a couple months before that. Oh, no, it was right. I went downstairs yesterday, and I saw the door, and I just went right back upstairs because I knew if I started, whew, mercy. Just one of those, like, great morning until, you know, it's like Joyce Meyer prays, right? Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day that the anointing is on me and strength beyond measure is on me. And I thank you, Lord, that as soon as my feet hit the floor, I will still be able to do everything that you've called me to do. Right? We can pray prayers of faith in bed. Right? Or in our cozy rocking chair, or in our set-aside place, right? The war room. Anybody watch that movie? Just don't leave it. Don't leave the war room, right? Praise God, we're in there, and we're interceding for our family, and we're standing in the gap for them. And then we come out and nobody's lining up with what you prayed. Not even your dog. Right? And so we're in this, but we gotta let the word affect us beyond devotions. Beyond, you know, when you're in the right crowd. Right? How do we let the word affect us when we're driving and somebody cuts us off? Just putting that out there, right? How do we let the word affect us when we get a bad report from the doctor? How do we let the word affect us when somebody says something ignorant? I like that word, ignorant. Yeah. It just means that they don't know what they're talking about, right? So why would we even get upset about something like that? But we do. I was sharing a couple weeks ago. Somebody ignorant said something, completely ignorant, and I got upset about it. That makes me ignorant. It does, whether you like it or not, it does. Okay, so let's let the Word of God affect us beyond devotion. So there's a scripture in Psalms, and I remember this scripture, and this God brought back to me this scripture. What is it? You don't know. I think it's Psalm 119. It's so good. Psalms 119. We'll start at verse 1. I'm joking. That's the longest psalm. It's the longest book in the Bible. You know what? When you do your Bible reading, does anybody ever panic when you come to Psalms 119? I have to read this whole chapter today. Most Bible reading plans are nice and they break it up for you. Okay. So Psalms 119, I think it's right at the end, verse or near the end, 164. So we won't begin at verse 1. Oh, no, it's not. It's close to the end. 164. It says, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, this next verse. Okay, so that verse is what came to my heart. Because 7 times a day. 7 is the perfect number, right? Right? That's God's number. God made the world in 6 days, rested on the 7th. I'm not a number person, but that's kind of known, right? You don't have to be a Hebrew expert or any other expert to kind of get that. So 7 times a day. So does that mean that we 7 times a day and then is our cutoff? It just means continuously, right? It just means throughout your day. Praise God throughout your day. Don't just praise Him in the morning. There are so many Psalms, especially, where it says, early in the morning will I seek thee. Right? Early in the morning will I cry out to you. Early in the morning. And the reason I took this scripture, there's 2 reasons. One, because there was a lady, Kathy Dorsch, I think, and she did an entire, it was a TBN thing for kids, and she did it. And it was 7 times a day will I praise thee, O Lord. And that's what she kept doing over and over and over. And this was a long time ago because I haven't watched TBN in a while. And so, but you know, 7 times a day, that just means that you do throughout your day. When people do you wrong, when people say something ignorant, you just, I will praise the Lord because of His righteous judgments, because He is right. Because in all the things that we face throughout our day, in everything, Jesus loves me and He is right. Is that right? It's right. God is right. Let's just establish that right from the get-go. There's 2 things. God is good and God is right. God is good and God is right. And if things aren't lining up, then you're not persuaded that He is good. That's the bottom line, I guess, right there. So, 7 times a day will I praise Thee, O Lord, because of Thy righteous judgments. Now, this next verse is awesome. Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Last week, I talked about offense, and I did not use the scripture. But I'll tell you, when we love God and His law, that doesn't mean the 10 commandments. His law just means His way of doing things, His way of operating. When you do things His way, you have peace and nothing will offend you. Because when ignorant people say ignorant things to you, you're praising God because that's doing it His way. Okay. When we, I don't want to go back to last week and share about last week, but when we get offended, I shared this last week. What's the first thing you want to do after somebody says something ignorant about you? What do you want to do? John wants to get them back. But most people want to set the record straight and then get them back. But we want to tell people, no, you have been misinformed. This is not the truth. Right? I said we want to, you know, fly an airplane with a banner over Apsley, but that would be very inefficient because nobody would read it. Right? But we want to set the record straight. We want people to know that is not true. It's not. And yet, we go out of our way to try and tell people what you heard was wrong. Did you hear that rumor? That rumor is not true. And what does it do? Zippity-doo-dah, nothing. It does nothing. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't change people's opinion of you. It doesn't change what's been said. The only thing that's affected is the inside of you is churning. The inside of you. So here's what God said to do instead. Forgive. That's God's law. Forgive. And why is he telling us to forgive? Because he knows that the moment we forgive, it's done. We're not dealing with it. We're not carrying it. We're not burdened down by it. And we can walk in victory because we're not under a lie. You know, your kids come home and they tell you things that somebody said about them. And, you know, somebody said this about me, whatever. And I'm like, well, is it true? No. Well, then don't worry about it. Right? That's how easy it is. That's how we say it, right? Just don't worry about it. But then we have things happen, the same thing, maybe on a higher scale, because I didn't write a note in school, but maybe I did something else that somebody else thinks I did or whatever. Do you understand? It just comes to a higher level and you still have to operate the same way. Is it true? No, it's not true. So then, okay, she answered a different way, but yeah, we have to operate. It is true that we have to operate just a higher level. We just keep going higher. We still, at age 20, we forgive. At age 30, we forgive. At age 40, we forgive. At age 50, we forgive. At age 60, we forgive. And all those in between, too, by the way. 61, 62, 63. I just didn't want to say every age, right? At age 70, you forgive. At age 80, you forgive. 90, you still forgive. At 100, you forgive. At 110, you forgive. At 120, you go home. Right? But we just get to that place. I'm forgiving. I am choosing to forgive. I am forgiving. That's who I am. Forgiveness is in me. Why? Because the King of forgiveness lives on the inside of me. So I operate this way. And I, therefore, have great peace. And nothing shall offend me because I operate this way. Okay. What was the other? Kept thy precepts. 168. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before me. And that, keeping his precepts, to me, was just, again, letting the word affect you. You keep his word. You keep what he says. You operate in what you know is right. You operate in truth. That's what it boils down to. You operate in the truth of God's word. When God speaks to you, and when you're having your awesome devotions, And he shares with you that you are an overcomer. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Then you walk throughout your day, and everything that comes at you that day, you go and you hold back and you go back to that word. No, I'm an overcomer. No, I don't beat my dog because she bites a hole through my brand new bathroom door. I know none of you would ever beat your dog. But the thought crossed my mind. You know, you're just like, are you serious? Like the dog knows that it's a new door, right? She just wanted out of the bathroom. And you know what? She has 11 puppies. I don't blame her. Right? She just wanted to get away from them. I should have had a lot more sympathy now that I'm thinking about it. But you know, you just... But we do... These are the things, though, that steal our peace. Maybe not yours, but... Those are the things. You know, driving to church this morning, I had Joy and Hope with me. And Joy wanted Hope to do her makeup. But I didn't want them doing it driving because you understand, right? So I said, just wait with the mascara until we get to the church. So then they thought, well, we can do lipstick. So Hope twisted. So here we are. I have to give you a proper setting. We're driving to church. We're listening to our awesome radio station. And there's this song. Holy, there is no one like you. Right? That song? Praising God. We're singing in the car. And Joyce, or Hope, starts twisting the lipstick. And it's going higher and higher. And I'm driving, and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, holy, there is, what are you doing, right? So I said, Hope, what are you doing? And she's like, I don't know, it won't go down. Well, she's twisting it up. So I said to her, okay. And I didn't realize she was twisting it the wrong way. So I said, well, gently push it down. So... I wish I had the background music going right now. But so she's pushing it down, and what happens? Looks like a mushroom, right? So I'm like, oh, Hope, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm sorry. Like, she didn't mean to. And is it that big a deal? It's a Burt's Bees lipstick. It's not even like, you know. Not even real lipstick. It's like a moisturizer, tinted moisturizer. So I'm like, here, give me that. And we're still driving, and I'm twisting, and then I'm shaping the lipstick so that it fits back down in the thing. Okay, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing, nothing, nothing shall offend them. I know some of you guys will never have this issue with lipstick, but there are other things, right, that we get totally bent out of shape over something that is so inconsequential, and we lose our peace over something really silly. And God wants the word to affect us beyond devotions, beyond the time where we say, amen. That word stays with us throughout our day. I was talking a couple weeks ago about, you know, and I'm not against this, but when I was, I don't know, not very old in the Lord, I don't even know. This is a while ago. And we just started having enough money that I could buy the odd thing from Avon. And so, and always the really cheap stuff. And so one of the Avon things that they had, which I thought was kind of cute, was this loaf of bread that had scriptures in the top. It's like this big. Do you know what I mean? Okay. And it was like, it said, our daily bread. Really cute. Okay. So the Avon lady knew that I liked it. And when it came on sale, she's like, it's only $1.99 or something like that. So I'm like, oh, cool. So I got it. I thought it was a lot different. You know, when you see it in the magazine, you think it's a lot different. Anybody ever do that before? You think you're buying a plaque that's like huge, and then it comes in the mail, and it's like, it fits in your mailbox, really? Okay, right? So anyway, so this little loaf of bread. So I don't even know if she gave it to me. She was a sweetheart. I don't know if she gave it to me or if she, whatever. But, okay, I'm going to go on a bunny trail. Does anybody have one of those calendars, the perpetual calendars? They have the day of the week, the month, and the year, and it's all cubes, and you can adjust it daily? Nobody has that? Okay, is it because nobody would turn the cubes? Is that why you don't have that? Okay, because that would be me, right? That would be me. So I know a lady, and every time I go to her house, it is correct. Every single time. Like, that's awesome, right? To me, that is like, take my hat off to you, because I would get it June, or I guess nobody gets a calendar in June, but January, and it would be January 1st. 2020 for the whole year. Actually, I'm going to give myself credit. I would probably change it 3 or 4 times, but that would probably be the max. And then I would just see it and think, oh, I should change that, and get sidetracked and not. But, okay, so I went on that bunny trail. So the reason I said that is because our daily bread, I probably only took out 3 or 4 cards ever. And when you read a scripture, like I'm gonna pick on the one that the Bible app gives you for today. It's probably a good one, but okay, so this is the verse of the day from our Bible app. It's John 16:33, and this is the Passion Translation. And it says, "And everything I've taught you is so that the peace which is in me will be in you, and will give you great confidence as you rest in me. For in this unbelieving world, you will experience trouble and sorrows, but you must be courageous, for I've conquered the world." Okay, that's a great scripture. That's a great translation too, right? Awesome. Okay, so that backfired. Okay. Okay, I'm going to do one of these, okay? Okay, this is a scripture that I have now. Okay, this is... First, oh, this will be good. It's Chronicles. First Chronicles. It says, First Chronicles, verse 66. "And the residue of the families of the sons of Kobath had cities of their coasts out of the tribe of Ephraim." Okay. That's your word for the day. You get what I'm saying?
I can't find it again anyway.
It's okay. It's really not worth finding again. Chronicles is that book in the Bible that you read through because it's part of the Bible, and you do it in obedience, and you honor God with that time. Not every verse. There's a lot of good stuff in there too, right? Because that's where I got my word a couple of weeks ago. So I'm not ridiculing Chronicles. I'm just saying that one scripture just taken randomly out of a little plastic bread, loaf of bread, may not sustain you for what you're going through that particular day. This would sustain you. This scripture, if you meditated on this all day long, you would have an amazing devotion that could affect you throughout your day. But that's why you have to have scripture like this that has a little bit of promise in it, that has something in it that will carry you, so that when you come into situations, you know, well, I am in this unbelieving world, so yes, I'm going to experience trouble. Trouble in any shape or form. Your trouble may not be trouble for me. You know, we have some of our kids, they can handle things so easily, it's like they just shake it out of their sleeve. And then another child will struggle with that, but have great success in other areas that that child struggles in, right? Some people don't care if you say something that's offensive. And then other people, they carry that and they take that as a burden. But we know that we're going to experience trouble and sorrows, but we are courageous because Jesus has conquered the world and he's in us. And you can meditate on that and you can think on that and you can take that throughout your day. And you can get over these things, these hurdles that the enemy would like to throw in our path. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to let the Word of God affect us. Part 2, next week. Hallelujah. Amen. We're just going to go from glory to glory, but we're going to let the Word affect us. We're going to let the Word of God kind of like simmering on the inside of us. Constantly there. Constantly fragrant. Amen. Father, we just praise you and thank you for being so good to us. Lord, I thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It is light to our path. It helps us. It helps to maneuver us. It helps to direct our steps for the day so that we can have a successful day. Father, I just praise you for your goodness to us, your love towards your children. You love us so much that you gave us Jesus. You said you loved the world so much that you gave your only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So, Father, we just take that this morning. For those listening, for those who have never asked Jesus to come into their life, we take that this morning. That we receive that gift of eternal life, that gift of love, that gift of salvation. And so if you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I just ask you to repeat after me. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to take my place, to die for me, to go to hell for me, and to raise to life on my behalf. Right now, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, make me brand new, so that I can live with you a good life here and eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming.